Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Companions on the Journey, a one-hour weekly program that provides the opportunity to deepen our faith in the Lord Jesus and to share with each other the moments of grace we have experienced. Monsignor Stephen McHenry, Pastor Emeritus of St. Anthony of Padua Parish in Ambler, Pennsylvania, is your host. Monsignor will be taking calls during the second half hour of his program. Call in and speak with Monsignor by calling 610-527-2906. And now, your host, Monsignor McHenry.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Companions on the Journey. It is good to be with you again. It's a beautiful day outside. It's like 60 degrees. Maybe Punxsutawney Phil was right that spring was going to come a little early. It feels very nice outside. So if you can get outside and just let the sun shine on you a little bit, I recommend that you do that. You don't have to take as much vitamin D. But anyhow, welcome to Companions on the Journey, and it's good that we'll have this hour to be together. I want to thank you for tuning in and just encourage you, if you find something that helps you here, share it with somebody else. If you find that the program touches you or it feeds you and nourishes you in some way, share that information with other people. Help them to tune in, 800 AM WTMR. Or you can go online in His Sign Catholic Radio, and then you can watch the video. You can watch the live stream afterwards, or you can watch it live while we're in the studio. And so I just encourage you to do that. In the second half hour of the show, we'll be taking phone calls, and that will be at 610-527-2906. You can call in with a thought, with a question, a concern that you may have, something that I say that triggers something in you, and we can have a little bit of a discussion. That's always a blessing, a beneficial thing. I'd like to begin our program in prayer, because everything we do just has to flow from our Lord, and it has to flow back to Him. And if we consciously open ourselves to His movement and His grace, it just changes things. Things get better. Things work out. We get to see and understand. So we're going to pray now, and I ask you to bring with you into your mind, into your heart, the concerns that you have, people that you want to lift up to the Lord, situations, circumstances, relationships, you know, things like peace in the world and the state of, you know, our world and what is happening in different parts of our country and so forth. So all of these are legitimate concerns, and we place them now before the Lord. So let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the beautiful day that you have provided to us. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the gift of your love. Thank you for wanting us to be, and not only be, but be where we are and who we are at this time. None of this is accidental. All of this is mindful and purposeful. You know what is going on. You know what you have done. You know what your grace does in us. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us to make the proper response to your grace, to believe in you. We ask you to nurture the hope that is within us so that we can be men and women of hope to the people that we interact with. We thank you, Lord, for all the ways you bless us, and we ask you to give us the grace of a grateful heart so that we never take those blessings for granted, and we're always appreciative. We always grow in thanksgiving to you. We ask you for your protection. The enemy is like a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Yes, he does, but he's not anywhere the match for you, O Lord. He's already been defeated, and he's running, and he's trying to lash out, and sometimes we're on the receiving end of the lash. But help us to know that you are with us. Help us to know that we are protected. Help us to know that we are safe in your hands, O Lord. And so we commend to you all of our cares, all of our concerns, the people that are important to us, those most in need, the people that we've said, yes, I will pray for you. This is the time now, Lord, when we place them in your hands. We lift them up to you. And we ask you for your blessing upon this radio broadcast this afternoon. And we make this prayer in your name, O Lord Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Friday last week, the priests of the Archdiocese had the opportunity to see a showing of the film Cabrini on the life of Mother Cabrini, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. And we were at the Regal Theater in King of Prussia. And I would say 90 to 100 priests were there, all ages, sizes, shapes, and it was really an excellent show, excellent program. And I believe that over the weekend they had the formal opening of the movie, and then it'll be in other theaters. I really thought that the quality of the presentation was excellent, and it would rival any movie that you would see anywhere. But the themes of it, and it just was a throwback to another time, literally, but also it kind of captured, and you say, I want that. I want that. I want to be able, in all of this strife that was going on, with all of the immigration and the what was happening to the immigrants then, it just applies today, it seems to me. And so I encourage you, if you get the chance to see the movie Cabrini, I would encourage you to do that. And they did ask us to say that to people. Like, if we found that it was helpful to us, we thought it was a worthwhile film, that we would talk it up. And so I'm happy to do that today. And it's over 2 hours, like 2 hours and 15 or 20 minutes. But it goes, I didn't feel like it was dragging or long. It was just, it moved. And so it was really well done. And I texted my former housekeeper, and I said to her, she's from Sicily, and I said, there's this movie, Cabrini, and I think you would really like it, and I said, some of it's in Italian, and you'd be able to, understand it because you speak Italian, and I said, but the woman who was chosen to portray Mother Cabrini could pass as your twin sister. I mean, I'm looking and I'm saying, I know her. And it was because she was the housekeeper for the priest at St. Anthony's for a whole lot of years. And so anyway, she gets a little call out today on the program. That's Rosaria. So I encourage you to see the movie if you can. Okay. We do the question of the week. And the question of the week, instead of working primarily from the gospel today, I'm going to work from the first reading, the book of Genesis, because it's always a reading that really troubles people. And they just say, what? It's so hard to believe. And so it's Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis is 50 chapters long, so this is chapter 22. But it's the life of Abraham. And it's the calling of Abraham, and you're familiar with it. Abraham and Sarah, they leave where they are, and they come to the land that God will show them, and they're told they're going to be the parents of a great nation, and they're really old, and they don't have any kids. And isn't that a familiar story, like in the scriptures and in life? And that the Lord intervenes, and he brings life where there isn't life. That's who God is, and that's what he's about. And so let me read you the passage. And it's chapter 22, but it's not all of 22. It's, okay. So it says, God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, Isaac, your only one, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and he took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he answered. Do not lay your hand on the boy, said the messenger. Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son. As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And so he went and he took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly, and I will make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All of this because you obeyed my command. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there's a lot in there, you know, but it just seems that God is willful here, you know. God calls Abraham to leave his homeland and to come to the place that he will show him, and he promises to give him a child. Abraham and Sarah take it into their own hands, and they conceive Ishmael, but that's not, she doesn't conceive Ishmael. Her slave girl does. But she gives birth on the loins of Sarah, and the child will be ours. And they raise Ishmael as their own, but Ishmael isn't the child. God is going to give the child and to Sarah through Abraham, and does, and that's Isaac. And so Isaac is the gift of God and the gift of the promise. God has promised your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky, and you know, it's billions of stars, and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants will be like that. But you know, right now, all those who are Jewish, they're descendants of Abraham. All the people who are Muslim trace their religion roots back to Abraham and Ishmael. And all those who are Christian trace their roots back through the Jews to Abraham. So if you take all of the Christians, all the Muslims, and all the Jews in the world today, it's about 4 billion. It's half of all the people on the planet today. Half, 4 billion people have a connection to Abraham. It's like your descendants, the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. God promised. God fulfilled the promise. So with all of that as a background, how can God be saying to Abraham, take Isaac, go to a place and sacrifice him? And it just seems, what? How could you do that? Who would do that? What kind of a God would do that? Now, God knows what is going to unfold. Abraham doesn't. And that's what gives value to his decision. I will trust without understanding. I will trust even though I disagree. I will trust even though I disagree. I will trust even though I don't think this should happen. I will trust you. your word, O Lord, I will trust. The original sin was our first parents not trusting the word God had spoken to them. So the new creation begins with an opportunity to trust the word that God is speaking. And Abraham is the one. It all starts with him. That's why we call him our father in faith. I will put my faith in you. Now, a little bit of context. Abraham, it's 1800, 1900 BC, before Christ, before the Christian era. That's a long time ago. And some of the people at that time believed in human sacrifice to appease their gods. We know just closer, if you go back into the 13 and the 1400s in Mexico and down into Peru with the Aztecs and the Incas, we know that they had human sacrifice, children, you know, to appease the gods, the bloodthirsty gods. So that was part of religion in some places. And it was part of the religions in the place where Abraham went. And so you could see how he was thinking, I don't believe that this is what God, but okay, this is what God wants of me. And so he says, I will do what I'm being asked to do. I have been obedient and I am obedient. And so he goes. And while we look at that in horror, the Lord knows that he's going to stay Abraham's hand. But it says at the beginning, God put Abraham to the test. God doesn't let him go through with that. So what is this all about then? I mean, he's just testing him? No, there's a lot going on here. And there's more in the little story. And that's why I just wanted to put some attention on this today. I want you to go to the land of Moriah, to Mount Moriah. So we've heard of that. Where is Mount Moriah? Now, some people might know, some people might not know. It's not called Moriah anymore. It's called Jerusalem. In 1979, there were five of us priests, and we went to the Holy Land. And Israel was about 30 years old at that time. It had been newly established from the United Nations Charter in 1948. This is 1979. And the Temple Mount, you see pictures of the golden dome of the Rock of Omar. That's a Muslim worship site. And we were able to go in. You can't do that anymore unless you're Muslim. But we were able to go in, and you took off your shoes. And you put all the shoes were over there. And then you went in to pray. And you went in down to, just to look around. And you go downstairs. And downstairs, there's this huge rock. So I said, wow, that's really amazing, you know. Well, it turns out that the huge rock is the rock on which Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac. And that rock is where Solomon built his temple. Now, you remember, Solomon's father is David, and David wanted to build a temple, and God says, you have shed too much blood. You're not going to be doing it, but your son. So you get the things ready for him, and your son, he will build the temple. And so that was Solomon, and he did, and he built the temple. But he built the temple right over that rock. And so everybody who was Jewish knew that. Solomon lives 980 BC, so it's 1,000 years after Abraham. 1,000 years. Like for us, 2024, it would be like 1,024. How different would things in 1,024 and today be? But Solomon builds the temple on that rock. On that rock. And he builds the temple up. And so that is the rock on which the temple was built, on Mount Moriah, now called Mount Zion. So Abraham does not sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah, although he was willing to do it. God stays his hand. And so instead of the son, the ram is taken, slain, offered up in sacrifice on the altar. And that's where the altar of the Holy of Holies was, in the temple of Solomon. And all of the Passover lambs that were slaughtered by the priests in the temple area on that particular place. You start to see that there's something else going on besides the story of Abraham and Isaac. There's something else. Abraham's only son, born of Sarah, only one. It looks like God is going to ask him to sacrifice that son to appease him, but that's not it. God is not asking Abraham to do that. But here's the thing. Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, where the temple was, is a 10-minute walk to Mount Calvary, where Jesus dies. He is the only Son, the only begotten Son of the Father. And 2,000 years before, Abraham, going to sacrifice his only son for God, and God says no. But in 2,000 years, I will sacrifice my only son for you. I want you, Abraham, to understand that I am not a God like the gods around you. I am not a God who will ask you to sacrifice your son for me. I am not that. You may think that I am that. I am not that. I stay your hand. I'm not going to ask that of you. But I'm not afraid to ask that of me for you. And so God's own son, who is the person of Jesus, will be sacrificed very close to Mount Moriah, very close to the temple that he cleanses and challenges the understanding that they had. Who is God and what is God like? The mountains in the Holy Land have a great place. There aren't a lot of them. Up in the north, there's Mount Hermon. It's over 7,000 feet high. It would be like our Rocky Mountains, you know, or like up in Killington, you know, that's 5,500 feet high. Well, this would be higher than that. Snow-capped Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon, the snows come down off of that and form the headwaters of the Jordan River that flows all the way through Israel, down into the Sea of Galilee, down past Israel, down past Jerusalem, all the way down into the Dead Sea. So there's Mount Hermon. And then there's another mountain. There's Mount Tabor. And that was the other reading on Sunday. It was about the transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Tabor. And I'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. And there's Mount Sinai, where Moses goes up the mountain and is given the Ten Commandments. That's down in Arabia. And then there's Mount Nebo, which is in Jordan, the present time. And if you remember before, Moses gets to the promised land. He goes up on Mount Nebo and he looks out and he sees Jerusalem. He sees Bethlehem. He sees Jericho. He sees the Dead Sea. And that's the promised land. And Moses never enters the promised land. He dies on this side of it. But from Mount Nebo, he could see the vista of it all. And so these mountains have significance. God is working in all of this. You have Mount Carmel, where Elijah the prophet is the last of the faithful prophets in Israel. He defeats all of the pagan prophets. From that mountain, the truth goes forth. The mountains in Israel are places where God has intervened, where God has met his people, where God has done amazing things to save the people. And so this story about Abraham and his son Isaac is really something that is shining light on what is going to come, but it won't come for a couple of thousand years. And it'll be when God sends his own son in our flesh, the incarnation, the word of Jesus Christ. It's only then that what Abraham and Isaac went through starts to make sense. And then you start to see how the sacrifice of the Passover lamb at the time in Egypt, and they sacrificed those lambs, and every year they celebrated Passover, God setting his people free from slavery. And now there's going to be another Passover lamb, this time, the one that John the Baptist will say, there's the Lamb of God, the Holy One of God. He's going to be slain. And all the other lambs pointed to him. The ram that Abraham kills and offers points to the Lamb of God, whose life will be given on Calvary for you and for me. So all of this is kind of interconnected. And our God, he does things in his own way, in his own time. And you say, why doesn't God speed the process up? Why does it take so long? Why? We have to trust our Lord knows what he's doing. He knows where he wants us to get. He knows where the way to get there. He knows what he is about. And he says to you and me, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me even when you don't understand. I want you to trust me even when you disagree. I want you to trust me when it makes no sense to you what seems to be asked of you. I want you to trust me, that I know what's going on, I know what I'm asking you, and I ask you to place the situation, the person, in my care, and trust me. And our first parents did not do that. And the new creation has to start with people putting their trust in God, and in God's word, and in God's way. And God doesn't have to answer to us, but God is involved in bringing us out of the darkness into the light and out of the problems into salvation. And he says, but I want to do it in a way that won't do harm to you. I want to do it in a way that will be the best for you, that brings the most out of you. I want to do all of that. So that's how God operates. And he asks us to try to make our response. He asks us to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you. Sometimes it's really difficult. And in those moments, the Lord says, yes, it is. But if you put your trust in me, I will lead you. Stay with me. Pray with me. Be with me. So now we're going to take a little bit of a break. And then we'll return and we'll talk a little bit about the transfiguration. So it's good to be with you. Thank you. And I'll see you in a bit.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. It's good to be with you again. And I hope that you were able to follow my little, monologue there about the Abraham and Isaac and what was really going on. So many, those things are called types, T-Y-P-E-S. And it's what they call the typical sense of Scripture, where it means that it's a story itself, but the story has another meaning. It points forward into what it will become the New Testament, the time when Jesus comes. And so there are all kinds of prophecies that prophets make about what's going to come. And there are also types, there are also moments, there are also experiences which point to what is going to happen. It's not always clear right at the time. Sometimes it takes hundreds of years for us to realize what is going on. But it's real. And it's all part of God's design. And he lets these things develop and unfold in his own way and in his own time. So I've really been blessed to be able to go to the Holy Land. I've been to an outnumber of these. I've been to the base of Mount Hermon. I've been to Mount Moriah, Mount Zion. I've been to Mount Calvary. I've been so blessed. I was able to celebrate Mass the last time I was there in 2022 on an altar on Calvary, like right where Jesus was crucified. And there are altars. It's inside a church now. But you can go under the altar there, and then there's a hole, and you can put your hand down into that hole and touch the crag that is Calvary, where his blood was shed. And I was blessed to be able to celebrate Mass with our little pilgrimage group right there. And the altar faces the wall, and so you have to turn around and face the people at different times. So at the consecration, I would turn around with the host and I would show it to everybody. And then I'd turn back. This is my body for you. And then the chalice, I'd turn around. This is my blood poured out for you. Right where he poured out his blood for us. And he did that on that little mount. Just does something to you. It makes it very real. The precious blood. His blood was really shed. And he left himself to us as bread for the journey. And he left himself under the form of wine, his precious blood. And we can drink from the chalice. And it's always a great blessing and a great opportunity to drink deeply from the chalice of his love for us, because it just draws you into closer union with him, the doing of that. But that's on Mount Calvary. And that's part of the mount. And so where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, the Father sacrifices his son. I will do that for you. So great is my love for you. And so I've been also to Mount Nebo, that looking out over, and on a very clear day, you really can see so much of the Holy Land. It's just amazing. I've not ever been to Mount Sinai. It's down in Saudi Arabia, and maybe someday I'll be able to get to go there. But I've been to Mount Tabor, and I've celebrated Mass on Mount Tabor, and that's where the Transfiguration happened. And so on 8 different occasions, I have been able to go to Mount Tabor, and I've been able to celebrate Mass there. And you remember the story where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain with him. Okay? It's a climb. I remember when we were first there, we walked down, and it was several hours just to walk down. We didn't walk up, but we did walk down. And there's no doubt that you're on a mount. And when you're up there, you can just see out everywhere. And they have a big, beautiful church there. And the Franciscans live up there and so forth. They take care of the shrine. But there is where Jesus is transfigured. And just to situate a little bit, like the Mark's Gospel is in chapter 9, but Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and that's where it's all going to end, and that's where it's all going to begin. And so he goes up on the way to Jerusalem. He goes to Tabor, leaves the most of the apostles at the foot, and then he and Peter, James, and John go up to the top of the mountain. And it says that he was transfigured, and that his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appears, and Moses appeared. And I always just really love this little passage, and it says, and then Peter says, "Rabbi, it's good that we're here. We should make 3 tents, you know." And I'm thinking, you know, if Peter had lived at the time of the smartphone, you know, he would say, "We should take some selfies here, you know, and kind of capture Moses and Elijah, you know, and this is really a great scene, you know. Be hard to tell our kids about this, you know." And or if he had been at the time of Polaroids, you know, he wouldn't want to have captured that moment, you know, the Kodak moment and so forth. So it just always strikes me a little funny. Peter, sometimes he's like me, or I'm like him. I'm impetuous. And he just wants to capture. It's so good. And we all know that. When something happened that's really good, you just want to capture it. You just want to hold on to it. So I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but there's a call on line 1. So what I do is I click this, and I click this, and I say, "Paula. Paula, are you
Hello,
there?
Hello, Monsignor.
Hello there.
Can you hear me? I'm trying to do a better job than I did last time.
No, you're fine. I can hear you fine.
I love all of these connections that you are helping us to make with these biblical things. And my comment or my question, the thing that I worry about is there's so many people in the world that seem not to know this. I mean, in our current culture, in our modern times, there are people that they don't get it, and it's kind of obvious, especially when you sit at Mass sometimes, and you can see the way people don't seem to know what's going on. They're there in body, but not in mind. And what I'm really getting at is that it's great that I personally can come to understand these connections. What about all these many, many people in the world that you see walking on down the street in New York City or somewhere, who are just seem to be oblivious to the whole message? That's just something that I personally worry about sometimes. I don't know. I guess it's all in God's plan, of course, but I'm worried about all those billions of people who don't get it.
Okay. Well, you know, St. Paul says that faith comes through hearing. So we have to talk. You can't hear unless somebody is bringing the message. And so we who do believe, we have a certain responsibility, not just the professional, like the priests or the religious, you know, or even just, well, parish staff, they have the responsibility. No, all of us who believe in Jesus have the responsibility to tell the story. And word of mouth still really works. I told you about the Cabrini film. Word of mouth.
Yes.
And so a lot of people will hear that and will say, you know, a Monsignor on the radio said that was good. I'm going to go see that. Word of mouth still works. I'm going to take another person's word. I'm going to put my faith in what they're saying. I'm going to trust them. And so we have to keep talking. And what happens is people say, no, I already know that, or I've heard that, or I don't believe that, or I'm not interested in that. And yeah, you can believe that, but I don't. Okay. And so what we do is we have to find a way in. And we're not always so good at that. And we say, well, you know, I tried it. No. Faith finds a way. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to sycamore tree or whatever, the cypress tree, be uprooted and over into the sea, and it would do it. And the Lord says, it's amazing what faith can do. But you have to believe. You have to really put your faith in it. And so I'm going to find a way. I'm going to keep talking about these things that I know about to help people so that they will understand, like yourself, and that you'll find a way. You'll pray and say, Lord, help me to find a way to convey this to other people. Not just the particulars about the mountains, but the particular about who Jesus is. And what
right.
He means, you know, because it starts with a relationship with Him, some kind of encounter with Him. And just after all the years as pastor, the thing that I struggled with was you can instruct people in the faith, but the heart of it is a moment when you meet Christ and He becomes real for you. And if that doesn't happen, then the rest is just like another thing you're studying. You know, it could be like math or geography or social studies or algebra or whatever. It's another thing you're studying where you say, I do this because I have to do this. No, when you meet Him, then you want to know about Him and you want to learn more about it. And then you ask those further questions. But the people who believe, we have it as a responsibility to try to find a way to help others to come to belief. And then we pray that the Lord will help us in that process, you know. And when it just seems like it's not happening, it's all falling apart and everything, nah, the Lord's been at work there and He's already planted and there's all kinds of stuff that's going to grow and is growing and we're not even paying attention to it. So I just have great hope, you know. It just keeps going on and going on. And it's not all happening where we are. It's happening in Africa, and it's happening in Indonesia, and it's happening in different places, you know. So,
well, at one point you were talking about the billions, that half of the world, billions of people that were descendants of Abraham. And, and I guess what I was thinking of was that my meager little talking, which I kind of do a lot of, it's just the people that I meet, and that doesn't seem like very many people. I guess it's like 11, though.
But it is. It's.
But I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, each one.
I'm going to hang up and listen some more. So
okay.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Paula. Yeah, each one. If one person can touch another person, if one person can reach another person, then that's not nothing. That's something, you know. And if that person reaches another person or reaches a couple of other people, that's not nothing. That's something. And I've seen I've seen people who were away from the faith for many years come back and really become the best of believers, the best disciples, the best Catholics. I've seen it. And so we just never give up. We believe, we pray, we hope, and we encourage each other to keep doing that. And I can't emphasize this enough. We have to believe that we can find a way. Opportunities will be presented. Use them. Recognize them. Ask the Lord, Lord, if I get an opportunity, I'm going to be able to use this opportunity to say something. Okay. And then faith comes through hearing. Maybe it's something that you say. Maybe somebody else hears it. And you never know where the faith comes from. I don't know who's hearing me on the radio today, but some hearts are being touched. Some people hear things and they feel things and they're saying, you know what? That's true. That's really true. I know he's talking to me. Yes, I am. But so is our Lord talking to you, and I work for him. And we can find a way, and we're going to find a way. And it's been going on like this for a really long time, and sometimes it looks pretty bleak, but it isn't bleak, because God's grace is poured out, and the Holy Spirit is at work. So thank you, Paula, for calling in. Let me go back to the Transfiguration a little bit. So Peter's trying to capture the moment, you know, and I think I would try to do that. I would try to capture the moment. I love that, you know. I think many, many people do that. You know, you're out and you see people, you know, like if you're out at a restaurant, so people are always taking pictures of that. They take pictures of their food. They take pictures, you know, when the birthday celebration comes and so forth. People do that. They want to capture those moments. They don't want them to be lost. They want them to be remembered. And that's all part of Jesus saying, do this in memory of me. So what's the Transfiguration about? And it's interesting in Mark's gospel, it's the way he said it. Mark says he was transfigured. Mark doesn't say he transfigured himself. He doesn't say he let the inner Jesus be seen. He says he was transfigured. So what does that mean? So I've thought about that, and I've prayed about that, and I said, Lord, what does that mean? And this is what I believe, that the Father revealed to Peter, James, and John the inner, the interior Jesus that they could not see, but sensed was there. And God says, I'm going to let you see that. I'm going to let you have a taste of that. I'm going to let you have an experience of that. It'll knock you off your feet. It'll put you right on the ground. Awe, I understand. And then it'll be gone, be over. And you say, what was that? What was that? Is that real? And Jesus says, that was real. And Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses and Elijah, Moses has been dead for 1,200 years. Elijah has been dead for 800 years. They're in the realm of the dead. There hasn't been any resurrection. Those great prophets, who can summon them from the realm of the dead to be present with Jesus on Mount Tabor? Only one. God the Father. Only one. And so when Moses and Elijah are there with Peter and James and John, the glow about Jesus. And Moses, do you remember the burning bush? This is holy ground. And the thing about the burning bush, it was on fire but not consumed. Yeah. And Moses was there with the burning bush. And now here is a person who's on fire with love and not consumed by it. It's Jesus, and the Father is revealing. Why is he doing it? because Jesus is going to go and be despised, ridiculed. He's going to be slandered, falsely accused. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be mocked and spit upon. He's going to be humiliated. He's going to be subjected to the most cruel and painful punishment until all his blood is gone. And that will be so devastating to the people who believe in him, so devastating to the people who love him. And God says, but I want to put something into your minds and hearts before that happens. I want you to see who this is and what is happening to him. Because I don't want you to be without hope. I want you to have a reason to hope. And they don't remember it until after the resurrection. Jesus tells them, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Jesus knows who among the 12 can handle it and who among the 12 can't handle it. Not yet. Not yet. He hasn't made them priests yet. They're the 12. He hasn't ordained them yet. He hasn't laid hands on them. He hasn't washed their feet yet. He's going to do all that. He is. But he hasn't done it yet. And they're not fully ready yet. And Peter, James, and John, they're a little bit more ready than the others. Jesus knows that. Jesus senses that. Where else will he do this? In Gethsemane. Remember, all the 12, Judas has gone to the high priest to betray Jesus. And so the 11 go over to the Mount of Olives, to Gethsemane. And it says Jesus takes Peter, James, and John again. The big three. Peter, James, and John with the daughter of Jairus when she's raised from the dead. And Jesus says, don't tell anybody until afterwards. Afterwards. But Peter, James, and John, they got Jesus. They got him. And they got what he was doing more than the others did. The others would get there. But these were a little bit more attuned to Jesus. Their love for him. And yet, Peter will deny him. And John and James will run. And that's who Jesus has to work with, folks. That's who he has to work with. That was then. That's who he has to work with now. He has to work with people who have a checkered past. People who struggle. People who want to love and want to be faithful and fall short. People who don't believe in themselves. And people don't believe that they're good enough to be what the Lord believes them to be. So that goes on. That happens. And so on the Transfiguration, it's the Father revealing the Son. And how do we know that? It says, well, it says, a voice. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Remember when Paula called in and I quoted St. Paul and I said that faith comes through hearing, and the Father says of his Son, this is my beloved Son. It's Isaac and Abraham. This is my beloved Son on this mountain. Listen to him. We have to help people to hear his voice. We have heard his voice. That's why you're listening to me right now, because I'm saying things that are touching you and feeding you. Yes, that's the way it's supposed to be. And then you go forth and you share that. Something that moves you, something that strikes you, something that inspires you. You go forth and you tell that. You tell that to your kids. You tell that to your spouse. You tell it to your siblings. You tell it to your mom and dad. You tell it to your neighbors, to other parishioners. You tell it to people at work. You know, I was listening to the radio, and, you know, Monsignor said this, or Monsignor said that, or this lady called and she asked this question, you know, or he was talking about Abraham and Isaac. Yes, you just talk about those things, because faith does come through hearing. There's something in the Word. Because the Word has become flesh now, every word shares in that. I want you to think about that. Not just the conscious Word. Every word shares in the Word becoming flesh. The words I speak touch you. They go into you. And you know, certain words come into us like daggers. And certain words come into us like balm. You know, I love you. Whoever gets tired of hearing that, you know that I love you. Don't we need to hear that more? Don't we need that? It's a word. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And that's what changes things. That's the transfiguration. That's what lets the interior goodness of God that is within us, the Holy Spirit within us, to start to surface. And it overcomes the fears. And then we grow at peace. Okay. So folks, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for tuning in. And I just want you to encourage other people to listen in. I want you to encourage other people to join us on Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock. I want you to encourage other people to go to the website, In His Sign Catholic Radio. And I would like you to just encourage them to listen and to find something there that helps them. And then for them to maybe go out and touch other people with what they have heard. It still takes a lot of just ordinariness to spread the message of Jesus. And I'm going to conclude with our prayer for our children. Father, we have a simple prayer we place before you. Lay your healing hands upon all our children, including those who have walked or wandered away from the spiritual and the sacramental practice of their faith. Bring them back, O Lord. They've turned for meaning to ways other than the practice of their Catholic faith. There are still some remnants of faith, but Mass has become less important. They believe they're basically good people who want to be their best by being true to themselves as they live in today's culture. Our faith is often viewed as being mostly about rules and commandments and mandates. There's little realization that faith is actually much less about these things and much more about you and your love for us all. It's much more about living in the truth that you are, O Lord. A connection has gone missing. This is not fully grasped. There's need to grasp this simple truth. There's a deep need to be reconnected to you, the vine. We who have loved them into life and formed them in faith know that this connection to you is vital to their lives and their love and their happiness. And so we pray, O Lord, that those we love will soon recognize anew that you are real. Realize that your love alone abides. We so love our children, Lord. We so love you. Please guide them, prompt them, awaken them. May they come to realize that you, Father, as does the father of the prodigal son, go down to the road each evening to look for their return, as do we. It is for this return we pray. In the name of Jesus, your beloved son, we pray. Amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, everyone. We'll see you next week, same time. Bye-bye.